Hey guys, it's Jacob. It's Thursday night right now, and as you know, last week I promised that we would have link back done in time for the show, and I just now finished the last bug, so we're ready to go. Basically, what it is it's a website that lets you find out when someone clicks on your link. It'll give you information about where the click came from and how many clicks you've gotten, so it's useful for if you're posting something on social media or if you're applying to a job, you can see if people are clicking on your personal site. If that interests you at all, there'll be a link to the website at the description, but the URL is www.lnkba.cc. And then also we would really appreciate it if you went to the description and clicked on our product hunt link and upvoted us there. I think that's what would help us the most, kind of get us some more visibility on that platform. So again, just check out those links in the description and enjoy today's episode. Thank you. Hello and welcome back to Hacker Slacker. I'm Jacob Petticord.
And I'm Andre Garive.
And we got this week's news for you, and then we got a story about one of the world's largest smartphone manufacturers and the future of smartphones in 2019.
Yeah, let's go over a little bit of follow-up from the last episode first, why don't we?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so one of my follow-up things is last week we talked about Uber Rewards, and we talked about how it wouldn't be available in most cities, but I was actually prompted to sign up for it. So I am now Uber Blue. I have no points. I haven't ordered Uber Eats or taken an Uber because I don't need Ubers here, and I haven't ordered food since I got this.
You're a plebeian.
Yeah. But it's exactly how we had talked about it last week. It has like a little meter for how much, how many points you have until your next $5 Uber cash rewards, and how many points you need to unlock the next level, which for me is gold. So it's interesting that it actually is set up to work here in Lincoln, not just in those cities.
Yeah, I didn't get it popped up for me, so I don't know if everyone's getting it in Lincoln or if they're just rolling it out to a small subset of users across the country or what's going on.
And so, like you mentioned to me earlier before we started recording, it could be that I've taken a lot of rides in San Francisco, so they may have just released it to me thinking that I am mostly in San Francisco.
Yeah, maybe that's where you downloaded the app or something. Yeah. But I guess the question I have is, I guess I've been using Lyft lately. I don't know if you have at all, but
yeah, over the summer I did use a lot of Lyft as well as Uber.
So is this going to make you, like, are you going to start using Uber and Lincoln now because you have the reward points?
I think, I will use Uber almost exclusively, at this point, unless like Uber does something so terrible that I can't, kind of weigh those options and say that the rewards points are not worth it. But yeah, I think I'll just be using Uber. There's no real reason to use Lyft. Uber Eats counts towards this. I use Uber Eats more than I used Uber and Lyft here in Lincoln. So, I mean,
there you go. I guess our strategy works.
Yeah, it did. All right. How about you?
I don't have any follow-up, so right, we can jump on into the news.
Cool. So I've got a ton of news about a bunch of iOS device rumors. So Apple has been rumored to be making a ton of devices, including a new entry level and iPad mini, apparently a new iPod Touch, which is insane to me. I thought that was long dead. They didn't like ever officially say we're done making iPod Touches, but they just stopped making them. It's a real relic of my childhood, the iPod Touch. And then we've got some AirPod 2 and AirPower. But first, let's get into this iPod and the new iPads. So, like we were expecting at that iPad event back in October, it looks like they will be releasing the iPad Mini 5. I actually brought my iPad to record today, which is an iPad Mini 4, and I'm realizing how slow it is. I have a ton of links open on Chrome, and it's just like, it makes me reload half of the pages that I open. It takes a while to get around things. It takes a long time to like copy and paste stuff. So if they would make a more powerful iPad mini, I think so many people could benefit.
So what are they saying about the iPad mini? Is it going to be bezel-less like the new Pros?
I believe that's what it says. Yeah, is that it will be the same style as that iPad Pro. And I would be interested if it gets Apple Pencil support, and then the whole iPad lineup will have Apple Pencil support.
Yeah, because they also have the cheaper, like, iPad non-pro, which is, like, mainly targeted at education, that has its own Apple Pencil support, so I think it would be really cool if they got support for, like, the new style pencil where it can clip onto the side all across the line.
Yeah.
But and I don't, that might be the main differentiator between the pro and the normal one, you know?
Yeah, and you would think it would be USB-C as well. It seems that Apple's transitioning to USB-C and possibly even on phones, as we'll talk about in a little bit. But first, let's talk about this iPod. So I'm assuming since we're the same age, you had an iPod Touch at one point as a kid.
Oh, yeah. Definitely had an iPod.
So pretty much everybody between the ages of, like, I don't know, 16 or 17 and probably, like, 22, 23 at this point had an iPod.
I mean, well off people like us who were fortunate enough to have cushy childhoods.
Yes.
Yeah, we had the iPod Touches.
Yeah, so had an iPod Touch. I always, my iPod Touch was like an iPod Touch generation like 2, I think. I bought it several years after it came out for like $90 off eBay because I got some birthday money and I saved up and I was like, I'm going to buy this thing. And I'm, it worked for what, like 12-year-old me? I don't even remember.
Play some Clash of Clans.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of play some old iOS games on that old device. And now that I think back at it, I'm like, how on earth did I like do anything on this?
Doodle Jump.
Oh, Doodle Jump. What a game. Yeah. So apparently there's going to be a new iPod Touch, which for me, I find this really interesting because I have a lot of younger siblings and, four to be exact. So my oldest younger brother has an old iPhone 6S. It's either a 6 or 6S that he uses. There's no service on it, but it essentially acts as an iPod Touch, just with better performance. And then my other younger brother has an iPhone 4S or something like that, and I think my sister had a 4S, but I think the 4Ss might have broke. They're a little old now, but those are still more powerful than like the latest iPods that have been released. And then my other little brother has an iPad. So they all have these devices, and it seems pretty reasonable to just give your kid an old iPhone that you can get for $100 rather than, I don't know if they're going to sell this iPod 7 for what, $250?
Yeah.
And it's just a glorified iPhone that has less power and less capability.
Yeah, I mean, I still, little kids are using iPads these days, yeah. I feel like.
And so it seems like I think it makes sense for it to exist. Yeah.
But I think the iPod Touch, like, it makes sense for it to exist. Like, obviously, it's not going to be the big seller that it was back when in the iPhone 3G days when everyone had the iPod Touch because it was the next thing that came after the Nano. But, like, I think there could still be a market for it. You know, maybe they don't release it every year.
Yeah, and I it'll be interesting to see if they made any, like, big changes to it. I'm sure that they'll give it Face ID, which will be make it easier for kids to open their iPods. And I'm assuming that this is going to be a very kid-focused, kid-centric device. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. Next on the dock for the Apple rumors is AirPods 2. We've been waiting for this for quite a while.
Yeah, do you have any fresh details about them, or is it kind of the same stuff we've been saying?
Basically that it's still going to have support for Hey Siri, and I'm going to immediately have to turn Siri up. There we go. it'll have wireless charging, as we expected. It'll be Qi, which is really nice. It'll have the W chip. It looks like it'll probably sell at about the same price point, but it's going to be really interesting to see if they make enough changes to it to make current AirPod owners want to switch, because I love my AirPods. Use them every day. They are by far my most used audio device I've ever had. More than even like my plug-in headphones, because that just took me so much longer. So when I was walking between places, I wouldn't just plug my headphones into my phone and then just go with it. Now I can just pop out my AirPods and I open them up, put them in my ear, and everywhere I walk, I'm listening to a podcast or music or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna oogle over my AirPods again. I feel like
the
listeners, if they know one thing, they know we love our iPads, they know we love our AirPods. Yeah. So I'm definitely excited to see what they do, see if there's anything big. The only thing I really don't like about the AirPods is the microphone on them. It is absolute garbage. Yes, and since there's two of them, I feel like they could probably do something a little better if they tried harder. Yeah.
I will say they're particularly bad in wind. It's not like any microphone is particularly great in wind, but these ones are particularly bad.
It's like inaudible. Wind. Yeah, you can't hear it when there's wind.
A lot of times I'll be on a phone call and I'll be like riding my longboard, or it'll be really windy out, and then it's just nobody can understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's a serious thing. Like, if you're a business person, you know, you make a lot of calls on your headphones, like, you're not going to want AirPods because you sound like trash. So,
yeah. It'll also be interesting to see if they can make it look, make you look a little less weird when you're just talking with your AirPods in. But that'll just be a social thing. But speaking of wireless charging, hopefully we'll be able to soon charge your iPhone and your AirPods on your AirPower mat. Apparently, there are rumors that it is in production and will be coming out this year, although it was announced a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I feel like we've been talking about AirPods like since before the show started.
Yeah.
Or since about AirPower.
Yeah, so AirPower was announced in September of 2017.
Oh my gosh.
So for reference, I joined this podcast in September of 2018.
Ooh.
So, it's been a while.
I think we were joking about it being like, oh, it's way too long for them to announce the AirPower at this point. Yeah, so at this point, totally over it. Not holding my breath for AirPower. If it comes out and people say it's awesome, maybe I'll check it out. My phone doesn't support wireless charging right now. My AirPods don't either. At this point, I'm just like, okay, if they do it, they do it. Maybe someone will love it.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be nice to see maybe they sell a package deal where you get the new AirPods, the new iPhone, and an AirPower mat.
Apple is not packaging in the AirPods. They're gonna make you buy everything separately. Everything's gonna cost.
Of course they would. They would make it more expensive, but make it so you can get all three for maybe like $100 off if you buy all three.
Yeah, I got a pretty nice setup by my bed over there. I guess we're actually, the studio's in my room. Big reveal, but yeah.
I like that setup.
It's just got it's like one big stand that has all like a place for me to set all my devices on it, so they're all standing up. My mom got it for me for Christmas or my birthday. It was a great present, and it's been great. I mean, honestly, like, I'm going to bed at night, just reach over, put my phone in its little slot, don't really have to worry about anything in terms of charging right now, so I'm not really holding my breath for AirPower, honestly.
Yeah. I'm also interested to see about what they do about Apple Watch charging, because it is a different standard than the AirPods and iPhone. Okay, so we've swooned over AirPods and trashed on AirPower release enough. Let's talk about iPhone 11. So, pretty much everybody's calling it iPhone 11 at this point. It's just going to be the next iPhone, but it should be really interesting because it is rumored to be USB-C, have 5G, and have a triple camera on the back. So, as we'll talk about later with Huawei, it's not uncommon to have more than two cameras on the back of your phone. The Huawei P20 Pro has a three-camera system. And I think the P20, or the Mate 20 Pro also has that. But basically, the next iPhone is set to have a really great hardware camera system, USB-C charging, a lot more power to it. But I think it'll be really interesting to see if they can do anything with the design, because the notch is gonna kill them this year, and we'll get into that a little bit later, so I'll save that one. But I think Jacob has another iPhone news story for us.
Yeah, so this week, I think in the last few months, in the wake of all of the like Facebook privacy issues, people have been pointing out like, oh, Apple, yeah, they've been so great on the privacy, you know, no big leaks. Apple's like kind of impervious to this kind of stuff. Your stuff is safe with them. And then on like national, I forget what it was. It was like national like software security day, like literally something super ironic.
Yes, National Data Privacy Day.
Yeah, on National Data Privacy Day, yes, a story came out about how anybody could call anybody in their contacts and without them accepting the call, get audio from their phone due to a bug in FaceTime. And that was a huge facepalm. I mean,
oh my God.
It's like one of Apple's like main advantages that people always brag about them is this. And honestly, like, I know this isn't like some systematic problem with Apple. Like, it's just a one-time freak bug, but stuff like this slipping through the cracks is just a bad look.
How do you miss this bug? Through all your user testing and all of your actual software testing within your code, I just don't understand
how so they could have missed this. Yeah, so by the time I saw this news story, they'd already taken steps, but basically the way the bug worked was with Apple's new group FaceTime, you can call someone and then, you know, you can add more people to the call to make it a group call. And so if you called anybody, so like, let's say I called Andre, the phone rings, Andre doesn't do anything to it. I add myself to the call. And then even if Andre hangs up, from then on, I can hear the audio from Andre's phone just by adding myself, my phone number to the group FaceTime call. So it's obviously not something that you would think to do, maybe, but it is something that someone found out and maybe should have been noticed at some point during testing. I don't know. I mean, that's in software, you kind of, it's kind of a code smell, like when there's something that there's no reason it should behave like that, but it is behaving like that. Well, there's probably some underlying issues there.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a issue in like Apple's approach to privacy, at least.
No, I mean, we'll get into it a little bit later, but like they're cracking down on unauthorized apps and stuff
as well. That's true. That's our next story. But yeah, so basically what they did after the report was published, I think 9to5Mac got to it first, but what they did was they shut off group FaceTime on their end. So without a software update, they just kind of removed the ability to do group FaceTime, and then stated that they're going to be releasing an update to fix this problem later in the week, because it just takes a little bit longer for software updates to roll out. So we should see later in the week a fix to this. No big deal. Hopefully nothing big happened, but a little spooky.
Yeah, for sure. So they're recommending that you just turn off FaceTime as well on your device. I have not done that. I probably won't do that. I'll just wait for the fix because I know it's shut down server side. And I've never used group FaceTime, so
I actually have. It's pretty solid. You know, I enjoyed it.
I mean, it's a good idea. It's just hopefully they get this fixed and can wipe this smudge off of their record pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think we'll totally forget about this one. Like, it's nothing big. So on to another thing that people will forget about. In the long strew of Facebook scandals, I guess not really scandals, but Facebook had one of their internal-ish apps removed from the App Store. So yesterday, as we're talking on Wednesday, so Tuesday this week, January 29th, TechCrunch published an article. It was a research article about the Facebook Research app is what it's called. And so essentially what the app is it's something that they would pay younger individuals, like 13 to 36, they said was the age range, to install this application. They'd pay them around $20 per month and give them referral fees for getting other people to join. And the way that this app was installed was through Apple's enterprise systems, which like is only supposed to be used internally. And what the app did was it collected basically as much data as possible for Facebook research. And so it would get all of your browsing history, what you're doing on your phone. They even had people screenshot their Amazon order history so they could get data on that. So they were really just paying people, you know, a low amount of money to completely sell out their privacy and using the system that Apple designed for business use cases to do that. And so the next day after TechCrunch published that article, Apple made a statement about how they are shutting down. That's like they shut down Facebook's license to publish these types of applications temporarily. And so because these apps, they're called enterprise applications. And so basically you can have a developer certificate and people at your company can use your apps internally, but you're not supposed to like distribute them in this way.
Yeah.
Because I mean, that's the whole point of the rules around iOS is that companies can't make apps like this. So, Apple shut down Facebook's program. And then it was reported that Google had a similar program and they said that they're shutting it down. So
yeah,
it's just kind of a crackdown on people who are using this workaround to collect your data. And it's another data point showing that people are willing to sell their data for very small rewards.
Yes. And I will say, for the sake of GDPR, that the users aged 13 to 17, so everybody who was not 18 or older, had to be a part of like a supervised family group within this application. Just so they know that they're not violating EU regulations on data privacy.
So you had to have someone at Facebook be your daddy and then they can collect the information on you?
Yep. And then
perfect.
Yep. All right. So our next story that we have up is about...
More about Facebook.
More about Facebook.
So in response to all this outreach or outlash, and this is even before this latest story, just, I mean... off the heels of the Cambridge Analytica stuff, that all went down. You know, people are at Facebook's throat about their privacy. I guess, first of all, Facebook crushed their earnings.
Yeah.
And their stock is going up. Like, they're making a huge rebound, which listeners of the show might remember, I'm still holding on to some Facebook stock. So I was happy to see that in the midst of all this controversy. So they kind of fought some fires in the last week. So a couple stories that came out, Mark Zuckerberg published an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal, and in that op-ed, he defended their business model, and the defense that he used defending the way that they collect users' information is something that I've heard before, but I think it's something everyone should kind of consider, because I think it's a pretty legitimate argument, even for people who don't agree with it. Basically, Facebook's goal is to connect the world, right? Like, they just want to, I mean, it's grow, get as many users as possible. And that involves really low barrier of entry, and the lowest price of entry is free. So if they're going to make their services free, if they're going to get 7 billion users, like they're not going to charge all those guys. So what they need is some way to make most of their services free. And the way they do that is by serving ads and selling data. And so basically Mark Zuckerberg's argument was that they are able to have this enormous impact that they have, grow to the scale that they have, because they're able to offer the majority of their services for free and because they're supporting it by ads. And if you look around at kind of how Facebook's users have known that this is the case for a while, and it's really only the tech crowd that's really shaming them, I think that a lot of the world is just willing to accept this.
Yeah, it is interesting to see a bunch of people on my Facebook post these, like, copy-paste rants that actually mean nothing, where they're talking about, like, the Rome statute and how if they post this on their wall, then Facebook can't share their photos or something like that.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
And it's like, oh, man. Yeah, it really shows you the disconnect between, like, Facebook and its users, because it's so easy to use.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, society's definitely moving in a direction. I feel like I say it all the time. I mean, one of my favorite, this is kind of a little tangent, one of my favorite stories about how society is all kind of going the Facebook route in terms of just selling out your data is that in, like, we've had the internet for a while here, but if you go to places where the internet's just springing up in this age of, like, collecting data, places like developing countries in Africa, there's been stories of how the apps there are incredibly involved. Like, basically everyone has the Facebook research app, and they're all willing, like, it's not literally the Facebook research app, but they're selling out the equivalent amount of data just to have these free services. So if you look at where the developing countries are going and their attitude towards privacy, they're basically just acknowledging that, yeah, we have this technology and we're trading our privacy for it. So I think it's just the way the world's going. So this next story is again about Facebook and a move that they're making, and it has some interesting implications. So it might sound kind of boring. What they're doing is they have their three main messaging service: Facebook Messenger, Instagram Messaging, and WhatsApp. And they are all separate systems. They're all companies. except Facebook Messenger, that were acquired and brought into Facebook. And Zuckerberg has announced that by 2020, they want to combine the system that runs all of these applications. That doesn't mean they're all going to be in one app. It means when you send a message on the app, it all goes through the same infrastructure. And so a lot of people are speculating that the advantage of this is if some antitrust laws come into play and they're saying, oh, you're operating all these separate apps, you know, you have a monopoly on the market. They can see, well, actually, you know, all these apps are just one app behind the scenes, and there's no way we could separate them into multiple companies.
Yeah, it's really interesting because they are three very distinct apps with three very distinct crowds, and there's almost no real reason to need this. Like, people who use WhatsApp, I've never used WhatsApp. It's not super popular in America, very popular abroad. And then Facebook is basically Instagram for people over the age of 30. And then Instagram is Instagram, right? Yeah. I use Facebook almost primarily to share my Instagram posts with my family. So I don't really have a need. I only use Instagram messages a little bit. I don't use it all that much. And then Facebook Messenger I use sparingly and only for group chats, really. But it doesn't really make that much sense, although I will say I'm a part of a very specific market that uses all of these things separately and doesn't even use WhatsApp, whereas I'm sure, like, a lot of the millennial and Gen Z crowd in, like, Europe and Asia and India in particular are going to be the ones that use Instagram and WhatsApp, and that integration will help them a lot.
No, I mean, they're not combining. Like, there will be distinct apps. Never going to see, like, this isn't saying that they're combining these apps from your point of view. Basically, nothing will change about the usage experience. So, like, there's no, like, you're not going to look at the Instagram app and it's not going to be Facebook Messenger. Like, it's the servers on the back end that are communicating these messages between your app. You know, like, when I send an Instagram message to you, it'll go through my Instagram app to the messaging server down to your Instagram app, and then a WhatsApp thing will do the same thing, but between two WhatsApp apps. So,
oh, I see. It's it looks like it would make it cross platform, which I think could have some use.
Yeah, I mean, there could be some use to that, but it's the technical infrastructure is what they're unifying. So from a technical perspective, yes, there's a huge advantage to, oh, we have all these messaging systems, let's just make it one messaging system. But I mean, that's a huge technological project, and
yeah, that'll take a long time.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd want to be one of the developers working on that, but there's definitely some side benefits to doing this for them.
Yeah. All right, so that's it for the news. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
All right, welcome back. So for our main topic, I kind of teased it a little bit, but it's about a company that is one of the largest companies in the world, and people might not know a lot about them. So, like, if I asked, who is the smartphone manufacturer that passed Apple to be the second largest smartphone manufacturer in the world last year? A lot of people would probably say, oh, I didn't know anyone passed Apple. I thought Apple was the largest smartphone manufacturer in the world.
A lot of people would probably say Samsung, but that's actually the top.
Yeah, and Samsung's then, number one.
I mean, you think of other companies, it's very difficult. Maybe LG. People think, I mean, I had no idea that this company would pass, and then I saw in tech news circles that it did.
Yeah, so the second largest smartphone manufacturer right now is a company called Huawei.
Yes.
And they're based in China.
Yes.
And if you've been watching tech news, you've probably heard a lot about them.
If you've been watching financial news or political news, you've probably heard about them recently as well.
It's been a big hot button Trump topic. So I'm going to give like a brief overview of the company and then try to discuss a little bit about the recent events surrounding them. I haven't really done as much research as I would have liked to for this, so it'll be pretty light, but it'll be enough to kind of get you going on it and give you a little bit of knowledge that you can talk about. So the first thing that I want to talk about is that they aren't just the second largest manufacturer of smartphones in the world. Their CEO says that by the end of this year or early next year at the latest, they will be the largest smartphone manufacturer in the world.
That's insane because you have Apple, who makes brand new iPhones every year. You have Samsung, who makes two new phones every single year. But then you remember, Huawei makes four phones a year.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing this without really any of the U.S. market. Like, yeah. I have never seen a Huawei phone in person.
Yeah, my girlfriend has an older Huawei, like, Honor 6X or something.
Yeah, they have a lot of, like, sub-brands.
Yes, so Honor is probably one you've heard of, but then their two flagships are the P20 and the Mate 20 at the moment.
Yeah.
Rather, the P and the Mate. Last year, they had the 10, and this year, or 2018, rather, they had the 20.
Yeah, those are, like, the big flagship Huawei phones. But it's been kind of crazy watching them because the place I do see them is in my tech reviews. People are always showing they're crazy looking phones. You know, if I was an Android user, I mean, it would be something I would consider. These phones look great.
I've done a lot of research on smartphones, probably way more than I should have, but I spend insane amounts of time just looking through smartphone specs and which one's better for what price. So basically I made like a list of the top phones from 2018 that were within like different price ranges. So basically everything below the standard flagships, like the Pixel, Samsung and the Apple. And so I included the S9, not the Note 9, and then the iPhone 8 rather than the iPhone, and then the Pixel 2. So older versions of these flagships. And Huawei had two phones in there, the Mate 20 and the P20, which is really interesting because they're really nice phones.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm pretty sure MKBHD, one of my like one of the biggest tech YouTubers in the world, he said if the Pixel or if the Huawei phone had the Pixel camera, like the camera technology that Google uses, that's the phone he would be using.
Yeah.
It's insane.
He recently said in a video that basically he carries a Pixel 3 and an iPhone. He always has an iPhone and an Android.
Mm-hmm.
And he only carries the Pixel 3 for the purpose of the camera. Otherwise, he would have one of those Huawei's because they make very good phones. And I'm honestly baffled as to how it's not really popular here in the U.S., especially seeing how OnePlus has kind of taken off.
Yeah, and I mean, they don't only make really good phones, they also make really good laptops.
Yes!
The Huawei MateBook, if you look at this thing, it looks exactly like the new MacBook Pros. Yes. It's kind of a clone, except the bezels are thinner.
Yeah, it's been called a MacBook Pro clone. I think it looks beautiful.
The bezels are thinner. It has a nicer keyboard, reportedly. Like, for all the people who hate on the new MacBook Pro keyboard, I kind of like it.
I kind of like it. It's nice to type on.
For the people who hate it, though, they like this new Huawei keyboard. It runs Windows. They have thinner bezels than the MacBook Pro on the screen. And it's due to this cool little thing they did where one of the buttons at the top is actually pops out to be your selfie camera.
Yep. And I think it's still a higher quality than the MacBook camera.
Yeah, so they make this crazy good laptop as well, all these great consumer electronics, and it's not even close to their biggest source of revenue. Like, these two things I mentioned are just peanuts because they're one of the largest telecom companies in the world.
Yeah.
They have, they have really good market share on their cell phones and tech in China, obviously, and outside the U.S. and our allies, but they've been a supplier of telecommunications hardware, like the stuff that goes in cell towers, for a very long time, and that's kind of their bread and butter. And so that is where
they kind of get into trouble.
That's where they kind of get into trouble because they're running the cell towers, they're running the smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
And in China, a lot of businesses, and this includes Huawei, are very tightly tied to the Chinese government. So this has the U.S., the Trump administration, and a lot of our allies a little scared about what they could do with all that power.
Yes. And we'll get to why we're talking about them is because the CFO was arrested on an extradition order from the U.S. She was arrested in Canada because basically Huawei was using a subsidiary company that they said they had sold, but they essentially sold to themselves.
Yeah, like a shell company.
Yeah, and so they sold this telecoms company to themselves, made it look like they had gotten rid of it, and then that company helped set up telecom and other tech stuff in Iran.
Against U.S. sanctions.
Against U.S. Yep. sanctions.
Yeah, so this wasn't just your average CFO arrest. This was a total Godfather move by the U.S. government, because the CFO of Huawei is the president's daughter.
Yes, who is also the founder of the company.
Yeah, the founder of the company's daughter. They arrested her. They're trying to extradite her to the U.S. and charge her. The indictment was unsealed earlier this week, and there's a lot more officials that they would like to get their hands on.
Yes.
It didn't say specifically who, but, I mean, if you're a Huawei C-suite, you're probably not traveling abroad for the next while.
You're only going to go to, like, I don't know, North Korea or Russia.
Yeah, so this targeting of Huawei has kind of, it feels like it's come along with the trade war.
Yes, it has. And it's very interesting because Apple has blamed a lot of their falling iPhone sales. They fell 15%, which was the first time that their projections went down.
27% in China.
27% in China,
yeah.
So because of this trade war, a lot of the Chinese consumers have just completely stopped buying Apple and American products. As we said, a lot of these Chinese companies are very closely tied to the Chinese government, which means that if the government wants you to do something to make your phone sell better, you're going to do it.
Yeah, so the U.S. is just kind of telling them, the U.S. and, our allies are, there's not a formal ban on Huawei products, but there are strong incentives not to use their telecom equipment, and their smartphones have not really breached the U.S. market.
Yeah.
And frankly, I don't know how much Huawei cares.
Yeah.
Because they're about to be the hugest smartphone manufacturer in the world, and that's not even their biggest industry.
Yeah, and it really doesn't matter to them that they break into the U.S. It would be good for them, but they can completely take over China. They could breach into India, a lot easier market to penetrate than America. I think it'd be really interesting to see what happens here. It's also quite interesting to look at how Huawei has not really been, within tech circles and tech reviewers, they're not really bashing on Huawei. They're not saying, oh, don't buy this phone. It's all been political and financial circles that are talking about Huawei in a bad light. Most tech reviewers are still completely fine with Huawei because they only care about hardware, right? So they make good hardware. Get into the reviews of Americans. They can still get into the market without the help of the U.S. government or financial analysts.
Yeah, I think I saw a video by a Verge reporter about their MacBook Pro clone. They were like, yeah, I mean, it's a great laptop. Yeah. So, I mean, as long as you're not a U.S. official who's super concerned about spying, who cares?
They were at CES. I mean,
yeah.
They're just here to stay, and I don't know. We'll have to see what happens with all of this.
It's just, I think it's impressive how far outside the U.S. bubble this company is.
Yes.
They are so huge, and if you didn't watch the news, you'd have never heard of them. And until this year, even people who did watch the news probably never heard of them, but they're cranking out these great devices. And it really shows just how heated the technological race is about to get with us in China.
Yeah. It's really interesting. Plus there's no definitive measure of what's better hardware, right? Because we can say, oh wow, the iPhone XS Max, the Google Pixel 3, great phones. But then you also look, the Samsung Galaxy Note 9 and coming up the S10 have the best screens ever put on smartphones, and they function super well, but those are Korean phones. And then you've got OnePlus and Huawei from China, and Poco phone from Xiaomi, which is also a Chinese company, I believe.
Yeah.
So you've got all of these companies from all these different countries, and there's no real way to objectively say that this company makes better phones than this company if they're around the same level.
Yeah, and they're all super close.
Yeah.
One of the main differentiating factors is that Samsung, Xiaomi, Huawei, these are all from countries where they can set up the factory in the same country that the company operates in.
Yeah.
Like in the U.S., they're not manufacturing their own panels. You know, Apple buys their panels from Samsung.
Mm-hmm.
In Korea. I think they buy one of their chips from Huawei too, but so many of the parts that almost all the parts that go into our phones are manufactured in places where these other companies are completely set up.
Mm-hmm. And I did see a story at some point, I think last summer. I don't know if this is going to actually happen anytime soon, but I saw a story that basically Huawei is going to start building their own chips for phones, right? They're going to try to rival Apple and Qualcomm on that, because pretty much everything uses either an A chip in Apple devices or a Snapdragon chip in most Android devices from Qualcomm.
They actually released their own server chips, I think, a couple weeks ago, which I didn't really cover on the show because it's not super related to like consumer tech, but they're definitely like working on their own silicon, you know, their own processors. So it's just they can be even more independent from all these other companies and keep pushing their technological advantage.
Yeah. So I'm very interested to see where all of this goes. And speaking of all of this, we're kind of talking here about the smartphone landscape of 2019. So I kind of wanted to go over, like, what do you think we'll see? What do you think we won't see? What do you think the best phone will be? I probably spend a little bit more time looking at phones and phone reviews than you do, but I'm sure you spend plenty of time as well. Most tech reviewers on YouTube do, like, a new phone or two every month.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What are you most excited for?
I think I'm excited to see how there's one big question in smartphones, I feel like, in 2018, and it has to do with the screen.
Is it hole punch versus notch? Yeah,
are you going to do a hole punch? Are you going to do a notch? Or are you going to do a slider?
Yes.
Or are you going to do no bezel? Or are you going to do a forehead? So yes. All of these things have advantages and disadvantages, mm-hmm. and they're all solving the problem that the no bezel solution is not super viable right now because...
Yes. Until they can put the camera under the screen.
Because we can't get the camera under the screen.
Yes.
Yeah. So the hole punch for there's not a lot of phones that have this in production right now. There's a couple of them. But it's rumored to come in the next Galaxies. So you're going to start seeing these. It's exactly what it sounds like. Where your selfie camera would be, like, kind of in the top right corner of the phone, there's just a little black hole.
Just a camera.
Just where the camera is in the middle of the screen.
So that's supposed to be announced with the Galaxy S10, which is supposed to be announced the middle of next month. I don't know if I like this or not. I obviously haven't played around with one of these phones, but I feel like I would touch the camera way more than I want to.
I mean, it's in the same spot.
Yeah. I just feel like I would, my finger would graze over the camera in the top right, trying to get to, like, notifications. Although I am an iOS user, which means that my flow is a lot different. But it should be really interesting to see, like, what all happens with that.
Yeah, I think the hole punch, a lot of people like it better than the notch. I mean, it takes up less space. Not a lot goes on in that corner anyways, but it's not the ideal solution. I mean, what we want is this all to be behind the camera, or all to be behind the screen. So the other solution, which I think is really interesting, is the sliders.
Yes.
So I've seen, like, prototype phones where just the camera slides up as, like, its own little cube. But the two phones that I've seen out right now, I think it's the Oppo Find X.
Yes.
And something
more
else.
Notably, the OnePlus 7.
The OnePlus 7 both have sliders where when they need to see your face, I think one of them does it automatically. So, like, if you go to unlock your phone, you, like, swipe to unlock, then the back of the phone, kind of, like, this little segment slides up to have, like, the little front-facing camera array, scan your face, and then go back down, which is kind of funny to watch next to, like, an iPhone. Like, there is this video of, like, both of them sliding to unlock, and it wasn't like a super big time difference, but one of them had to have the little camera pop up, look at you, and then go back down. It's kind of funny.
And I mean, most people over the age of like 16 will remember that's how all phones used to be, is sliding.
Yeah. Do you remember which one it is that has the slider that you slide yourself, like you push it up and down?
I don't remember, but there is one.
I think it's probably the OnePlus.
Yeah, there is one that you physically do it yourself. Yeah. There's not an automated mechanism doing it for you.
I think that's... So, in all these videos, people are complaining about how, dust is going to get in there,
whatever. Wear and tear.
Yeah, wear and tear, moving parts in smartphones. We all had phones with sliders in them. Like, I don't... I was a little kid, I treated my phone like crap, and I never had a problem with the slide-out keyboard.
Yeah.
I don't know why people are so nervous about this stuff. Like, no one expects their phone to last 10 years, so I don't know. Yeah. Like, a sliding mechanism should be totally doable, and I think it's... it might be my personal favorite solution outside of like just getting the camera behind the screen. And I'll be curious to see like which direction people go. Are they going to keep the notch? Are they going to move over to hole punches? Or is sliders going to pick up where you just kind of slide your phone down to have a selfie camera?
Yeah. So based on like the phones that we saw last year, what we're expecting to see this year, is there any like more niche phone that you're really excited to see come out this year?
I'm trying to think if I've heard of a niche. Oh, foldable phone. There was like some weird Chinese ones at CES, but I want to see what Samsung announces with their foldable phone, because honestly, I think it's kind of a gimmick and I could not see myself buying. Like, it seems like they're like, where do we go from here with the smartphone? We're getting the slab of glass. Well, what if it was a slab of glass that you could fold out into a tablet? It's like, that might be kind of cool, but also like, I have an iPad already. Mm-hmm. I don't really need that. So I'm most excited to see what Samsung does with their foldable phone, just to see what their pitch is, honestly.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to two phones this year, neither of which I will probably ever see in my lifetime. But I'm really excited to see, hopefully, the Razer Phone 3, which the Razer Phone 2 won MKBHD Smartphone Award for Most Improved from the 1 to the 2. And I'm really excited to see if they can continue that and make it more into a smartphone. Essentially, they started out and they said, we're a gaming company, we're going to make a gaming phone. It has the best speakers ever on a smartphone. It really does. It's super nice speakers that are basically as good as this MacBook Pro that we're recording the podcast on. And they have a 120 hertz display. They've got really good power. I'd like to see them up the display. If anybody can figure out how to put 120 hertz display on an OLED, that would be awesome. But if they could make it look a little bit more like a smartphone, make it a bit more aesthetic, and then also make the display a little nicer, I think it would be a really awesome phone for not just gamers, right? Not just people who want to play mobile games. And then also, MKBHD's biggest disappointment phone, which was the Red Hydrogen 1. I'm excited to see the Red Hydrogen 2. Red is very high-tech, high-quality...
It's a whole crazy thing.
Yeah, high-quality camera company that a lot of YouTubers use professional cameras from Red. So they're like, let's make a smartphone and let's make the one
feature. People shoot movies
on
them. Like, yeah. They're real professional cameras.
So they said, okay, what we're going to do is we are going to make a phone with this high-quality camera. And they did, but the camera's really not as, like... The Pixel is as good as this Red Hydrogen camera.
The camera is totally average on the phone, and so this is like a total tangent, but the whole thing about the Red camera system is like how you can attach all this stuff to kind of like a central computer
modules.
Core. The modules. So that's what Red sold this phone on the promise of, is that you're going to be able to attach modules to the back of it. And
they never
because
came
the
out
camera
with
is totally average, I think that they're shooting for having a camera module on the back of it that will give you like a more professional experience. And I think it would be really cool to see them like convert a lot of the YouTube audience over to using a smartphone with maybe like a bunch of custom modules on the back of it.
Yeah. And I think there are a lot of YouTubers who would be willing to do that.
Yeah. We've never seen someone pull off this whole idea of modules on the back of phones. Yeah. And I don't know if a camera company is going to be the one to do it.
Yeah. And I mean, really, you can, the iPhone takes amazing 4K video. You get just a regular mic and it's great. Like, that's what quite a few YouTubers use, starting YouTubers, that is. But I'm really excited to see if maybe they can make the actual smartphone experience of it better and make it more of a daily driver type for people who want a nice phone with a nice camera.
Yeah. What do you think the iPhone's going to do with the screen? That's my question.
I don't know. The safe bet for me would be that we still have a notch going into 2020.
It will not be the same notch. I do not believe it will be the same notch.
I don't think it'll be the same, because they really need to make an aesthetic change. It will be more powerful. It will have a better camera. There's no doubt about these things. But they need to make an aesthetic change, or else people are going to get tired of it.
I mean, I think if they follow the same... So the aesthetic change I definitely think we'll see is to be shaped more like the new iPad Pro.
Yes.
And hopefully USB-C on it. Those two things are pretty huge.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll see those two things and then a smaller notch, but nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
But if they don't change the notch at all, and next year is another S year where we don't get a major redesign. Imagine 2 years from now what these Android phones are going to look like.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I bet by then we see an Android phone for sale that has the camera behind the screen.
Yeah.
And so Apple would just look like fools with their notch still in 2 years. So
unless we do like an iPhone 7 where we skip the S.
Yeah. I mean, I'm personally hoping they're ahead of the curve and doing something, you know, thinking different with the way that they're approaching this whole notch situation, but I wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah. Would you think we'll still see a hole punch once we get to the Note 10?
When's that usually?
That comes out around the same time as the Pixel and the iPhone, so fall.
Oh, yeah. I think the Note 10 will still do whatever Samsung... I mean, that phone's so big, they could probably just keep the... Because the way Samsung's doing their phones now yeah. is they have bezels, but they're so slim that it's, like, almost... like it's bezel-less, which honestly
it has the infinity edge on the sides too,
the curving edge on the side, and then at the top and bottom you have your camera bezels, but they're not that thick. Like,
yeah,
honestly I don't see a huge advantage over a notch phone over something like what they're doing, and the Note 9's so big. I don't know, it'd be interesting to see if they did a hole punch on a phone like that.
Yeah.
I would just the hole punch watching videos, I don't know how I could ever get over that.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they do the thing with the black bars, but I don't know.
Maybe you get used to it, like the notch. I mean...
I guess I've never owned a phone with a notch still, so I don't even know.
Yeah. I'm interested to see OnePlus 7T. The T models of the OnePlus are always really, really nice. They kind of come out with this early version of the 7, like they did with the 5 and the 6 and pretty much everything before. And then they make the T version later, which... is basically an upgrade. So the OnePlus 6 had a full notch, whereas the OnePlus 6T had just this little divot for the camera at the top. So maybe we'll get a better slider. Maybe we'll get a different solution.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. Like I said earlier, Pocophone. Maybe Xiaomi will come out with Pocophone P2, which, well, or F2, not P2. These... phone names mean nothing, really. The letters and stuff after it. But
honestly, most people probably have no idea what we've been talking about for the last 10 minutes. I'm sure my mom's sitting there like, oh, they're just saying imaginary names of these smartphone companies that I've never heard of.
Yeah, so hopefully Xiaomi will come up with something that's pretty budgy, because they're in the position OnePlus was a few years ago, where they're coming out with a really cheap phone that has good... that's a good product. That's what... OnePlus did, and now they're at the point where they're almost making flagships. So we'll see about that. Yeah, otherwise I don't really have any big questions about the whole smartphone landscape.
One last thing about it. I think the rumors about Apple doing a triple camera on the iPhone, I think the triple camera systems are dumb, and Apple should take a note from Google, stick with one solid piece of glass, and then have the software to back it up. And
honestly, I love that the Pixel does that. It takes the best photos, and it's...
I don't think they have that software, but you just add another camera on there. I feel like a lot of it's just to say, like, oh, and we have this third camera that will provide all this benefit.
It makes it so that a great photographer can take even higher quality pictures with an iPhone, whereas the Pixel makes it so pretty much everybody can take a great photo. A super awesome... I also don't like how iOS gives you very little control over your actual camera taking, like your picture taking within the camera app. I know there are external apps that you can download, but Android just gives you a lot more freedom adjusting levels with when you're taking the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how smartphones come out, how they sell. I would comment on Pixel, but I can't. So, hopefully there will be a new Pixel. I mean,
I think everyone knows there's going to be a new Pixel. There's been leaked stuff about like a Pixel Lite, like a cheaper version that's more plasticky. So,
yeah. All right. Anything else?
I think that's it for me.
All right. Cool. So, if you want to contact us, tell us about maybe what your favorite expectation for phones are this year, you can contact us on Twitter. We're at hackerspod. You can send us an email at hackerslackerpod@gmail.com. We love talking to you guys, and more interaction the better. Thanks.